comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joining me from Studio C, we're just going to start calling it Studio City. I don't know. It seems more official. He is the reigning and defending, undisputed and undefeated co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Hi, Mike.
Hello again, sir.
How are you, by gosh?
I'm not too bad.
Good. That's what I like to hear. You know what we're going to start the episode with this time around?
Since what's that?
We have forgotten and almost forgotten it and had to squeeze it in at the very end. We're going to the book.
Perfect.
Do you like how I lifted up the book and showed you for for the audio version of the show?
Yep.
Duh. All right. We see. We did that one recently. We've done that one. Have we done Captain Marvel?
Show me. I don't know. I honestly cannot remember.
All right. Let's face it. If we've done a lot of these, and we haven't, like, marked any of them.
No.
So we're just going to go assume that nobody has done – that we haven't tackled Captain Marvel yet, which means that in – the history of comics, there are now three different Captain Marvels from three different publishing companies. There is, of course, Captain Marvel. There is former Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Shazam, and from MF Enterprises, debuting in April 1966 under the title of Captain Marvel number one, Captain Marvel. I was waiting for you to kick back something like, oh my goodness, no, I didn't know that.
I want you to read more because I got to remember if we did this one or not.
Okay. Captain Marvel was a short-lived sound-alike from publisher Myron Fass's Fly-By-Night Comics Company. He was crafted by Carl Burgos, whose, quote, Human Torch creation was one of the three key superheroes published by Timely Comics, the predecessor of Marvel Comics. The new Captain Marvel was something of an amalgam of the two. He bore the first Captain Marvel's name, and like him, was powered by a shouting a magic word. Additionally, like the so-called Human Torch, this Captain Marvel was an android.
Okay, I don't think we did this one.
Let's see if I can find the magic word. Captain Marvel, I'm just going to read this now. By the way, the book, okay. If you don't know, folks, it's The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morris. Said Captain Marvel, who was also an alien from another world, just to ensure all bases were covered, possessed possibly the most unique and disturbing superpower in comics history. His limbs fell off.
Okay, I know we didn't read this one.
I was going to say, the more I read about them, like, no, this is new. Nope. With a cry of split. The good captain's arms, legs, and head would fly free of his torso and tackle a multitude of foes, flip distant switches, or generally create a sense of profound unease. True. When the individual body parts had achieved their collective goal, the head would holler, Xam, spelled X-A-M, not a far cry from the original Captain Marvel's magic word, and the pieces would reunite.
Okay. I don't see why that person hasn't stuck around. That should be a well-known, you know, comic book there.
It is. It's the end result of every 1980s action figure. They split.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Every piece apart from the torso, unfortunately, if I went out to the box of He-Man action figures that my mom found in the attic recently or in the basement, wherever, that have... I think we talked about this little rubber band piece that holds the legs in place. Mm-hmm. It's droopy and nothing stays. If I went Xam, that's not going to be, you know, all of a sudden 1984, you know, new in package again. So
sadly, no.
He had a young sidekick by the name of Billy Baxton, not to be confused with Billy Batson, obviously.
That's what I was thinking.
And his foes included such familiar super names as Plastic Man, Dr. Doom, and Dr. Fate. But, I mean, this is just like stealing everything, honestly. The most dreaded enemy was originally called the Bat, but thanks to a cease and desist from DC Comics, it was changed to the Ray, which we all know was at one point a superhero as well. So legally speaking, I mean, this thing was just bad from the beginning. It literally looks like the image that I showed you that's from the book looks like exactly how we, you know, suspected, like an action figure falling apart. So I think
so. Did this? I'm assuming the Shazam or the Marvel Captain Marvel came out before this Captain Marvel.
I believe so, because this says 66.
Okay, yeah.
So without Googling things, I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. You figure they can't get away with like just copying that much, especially not only the name Captain Marvel itself, but Billy Baxton.
Or Plastic Man, or Dr. Doom, or Dr. I mean, just like,
yeah,
everything about this was, you know, take the name, maybe change the character just enough to hopefully avoid litigation, and then end up folding because it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I do like the powers though. I like the powers of, you know, all your arms and legs and head falling off.
So I guess my question is, we didn't get any resolution in the image that was shared, but what happens when you're just a torso? When the arms, the legs, and the head, first of all, what the hell is the head going to do besides like Mike Tyson biting an ear off or something? What's the torso do? Is it because he's an android from space? Does he have a little jetpack that keeps him upright, or does he just wait on the ground for the limbs to come back?
First, okay, I think the head is more powerful than you think, because I'm thinking it shoots off like a baseball or like a bowling ball and knocks somebody in. I think the head might be the most important part.
You think it's aimed and fired more than just like separating? Okay, all right.
Yeah. I think they're all, because that's the only thing that makes sense. They all get fired off. The torso just flops to the ground.
Okay, that's what I want. Now, the only way the torso is useful is, since this is an android from outer space, if he is in midair when all of his limbs and everything separate, and the torso, being that it has the mass that it does and reaching terminal velocity, if it's like smashing a getaway car from like a bank robbery or something.
That could be, yes, I agree there.
Literally, the torso has no other purpose other than to hold everything else together.
Yeah.
So... all right. Well, now we know about another Captain Marvel we didn't know anything about.
Exactly.
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I don't really even want to cast that one.
Yeah. I'll cast nobody.
All right.
I forgot his name though. Whoever actually played in Shazam, he just gets cast.
Oh, Zachary Levi?
Yeah, Zachary Levi.
Or do you want the kid cast who plays Billy Batson?
Yeah, either one. I don't care.
This is going to bother me now. He played the Shazam'd Freddy. He was also in Batman
vs.
Batman v Superman.
Was he? Oh, I didn't know that.
He was initially, I think, he was when there was rumors of a... I think maybe I might be getting the names wrong, but there was rumors of a Justice League movie from 15 or so years ago, and he was rumored to be the Flash.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. I'm
glad you do.
Yeah, oh God. I'm looking it up now, but is Adrian? No.
Adam Brody?
Adam Brody.
Okay.
I think. Something like that.
I think that's right. I'm also double checking.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam Brody.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, he was Justice League Dark or something like that, or Justice League Unlimited. No, whatever Justice League.
I think it was just supposed to be the original Justice League movie. So.
Yeah, but I forgot they called it something. I can't remember. But yeah, they actually had some pretty good casting in there.
And that was going to be in if I remember correctly, the stories. You know, they John Shep did the documentary for The Death of Superman Lives, and all about the Nicolas Cage Superman movie that, no pun intended, never got off the ground. There is a documentary to be made for this Justice League movie that never quite happened.
Yes. So it was called Justice League Mortal, or it was going to be called.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to play the Flash.
Armie Hammer as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just barely off on my timeline. I said 15 years ago, but it was 2008. I also wasn't George Romero, it was George Miller. Big difference.
No.
DJ Catrona as Superman. Now, I don't know who DJ Catrona is. I do know who Armie Hammer is.
Yes.
Common as Green Lantern. No issues there. Megan Gale as Wonder Woman. Not familiar with her. Adam Brody as The Flash, which who we mentioned. Hugh Keyes Byrne as Martian Manhunter. Santiago Cabrera as Aquaman. Teresa Palmer as Talia al Ghul. Zoe Kasson as Iris Allen. And Jay Baruchel as the villain of the piece, Maxwell Lord. So.
That'd be interesting.
No Jason Momoa.
No.
You're like, yep, based on that list you just read up, you're correct. So, I had just a couple of other topics to discuss with you, and then we have a surprise topic, which we didn't even know about until just a little bit ago. So here's one. We talked in the YouTube show about Disney Plus and how you've suspended your subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know that Hayden Christensen has reportedly signed on to Disney Plus series Kenobi in a major role?
That is interesting.
Now, who do you think he's going to play?
I believe he will play Yoda.
That's awesome. That'd be terrific if that happened. My guess is, and this is purely speculation, because I don't know if you need, like, it's a Kenobi series, right?
Right.
What's the time setting? Is it from the moment that we see him, or his last scene, the last bit of episode 3? Into, when we first see him as an older, old Ben Kenobi in episode 4, do you think it's that lost period of Luke's youth, or do you think it's things you didn't see, like in the first, the prequel trilogy and the Star Wars Clone Wars series?
I would say all of the above.
Do tell.
No, just everything. Anything they want. Any aspect they want of it.
They can carte blanche to do whatever the hell they want. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, it'll be a specific time. I'm not sure what time it's gonna be. It's hard to tell. But I'm curious to what like hardcore Star Wars fans are gonna say about it.
I mean, okay, let's see if there's a comment section.
Oh, God.
There's a comment section.
Okay.
The first comment says, I just realized the prequels are now almost as old as the originals were when Phantom Menace came out. Not false. They'll need flashbacks to keep the story of a desert hermit who cannot leave Tatooine for 20 years moving somehow. I'm in love with the character, but not sure how this series will work unless it's mostly told in flashbacks. Let's see. Cool. I'll be watching it. Holy shit. Yeah, I've always loved Hayden's acting, which someone said no one ever. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to largely be flashbacks, because think about this. He wasn't, for the brief minute where he was in the Darth Vader suit, he wasn't great, you know?
True, yeah.
So I think it's going to be largely based on flashback, but I don't know. Squat. So.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, too.
All right, so that's that bit of news. You can definitely tell we're recording this in the afternoon and not after my son's gone to bed, because if you're paying close attention, you can hear things falling in the other room. Such is life, am I correct?
So true.
All right. How about this one? Idris Elba says that old shows and movies should have warnings instead of being censored or removed. Now, the big thing about this, I guess, around this topic was when HBO Max launched and Gone with the Wind was quickly removed because people forgot that a movie made in the 30s or 40s based on a book that was written in the late 1800s might be insensitive, offensive. Mm-hmm. You know, might paint maybe too real of a picture of, or having never read the book, having never seen the movie, I don't know. I think maybe I want to backpedal what I said. Maybe it was a glamorized. I didn't see the movie, but I saw there was like an introductory video on HBO Max that I watched, and it was hosted by, I don't know her name, but she said, you know, one of the conflicts of this movie is that it seems to have glorified the antebellum South. And it was taken off, and then it was put back on HBO Max with a little disclaimer. And I think all that Idris Elba is saying is, yeah, you can't, you know, 2020, you know, is not the same as a year, is not the same culture or society as when many movies were created. I mean, look at Blazing Saddles. You know, he said, quote, "I'm very much a believer in freedom of speech, but the thing about freedom of speech is that it's not suitable for everybody. To mock the truth, you have to know the truth, but to censor racist themes within a show, to pull it, I think viewers should know that people made shows like this." So,
yeah, I mean, I agree with him. You know, I think when, you know, I'm not saying censoring stuff is wrong, mm-hmm. but you do start to go down a little bit of a slippery slope when we start censoring everything. You know, I'm fine with putting a warning at the beginning, or, you know, I don't want to say it throughout the whole thing, but, you know, at the beginning for a while and explaining that, you know, views have changed and this is part of history, unfortunately, and, you know, maybe we've grown from there, but just not having it on is, I think, dumb.
Now, we've joked about this before, and to the point where you have come out swinging. Does this include Song of the South?
That's my idea. God, I don't know. I don't think Song of the South. I mean, I'm fine if people want Song of the South. Okay, I don't even. It's not like it's a good movie at all. Honestly, I think the only reason Song of the South now is getting so much, you know, people talking about it is because it's getting censored, or because it got censored, or because it got banned.
Because of the controversy.
Because of the controversy. Yeah. If Song of the South was on Disney Plus right now and there was no controversy around it, nobody would watch it. It's not like everybody was like, oh my gosh, I want to see Song of the South so bad.
Wait, nobody would watch it, Mike?
Very few people would watch it.
I agree. I wouldn't be one of those. Like, mm-hmm. Disney used to have these video cassettes back in the day. Like, I'm talking like when I'm 3, 4, 5 years old, and it was, like sing-along. Cassettes, yes. You know, and a lot of times it was singing along with the movie or one of the famous rides at Disney World. So I remember like the Zippity Doo-Dah song.
Yeah, same.
I don't know, maybe I don't remember anything offensive about it. Like, there's no, but again, looking at it from the lens of I'm a 4 or 5 year old white kid, and I don't, I mean, probably at that age, I didn't even know anything about slavery.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't been to school yet, you know. But I just, unless it's the style of song that it is, you know, was, you know, maybe made to try to mimic some songs that, you know, slaves would have to sing just to keep from losing their mind. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I remember the Zippity Doo Dah song.
But that's literally the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing anybody remembers about song. At least it's the only thing I remember. I can't speak for everybody. It's the only thing I remember about, you know, Uncle Remus is that song. So, all right. So you posted up a trailer earlier this week. To be specific, it was on Thursday for a movie from Netflix. Project Power, starring James Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Dominique Fishback, among others, with the premise of if you could take a pill that gave you superpowers, would you? Now, we know that with superpowers comes super responsibility.
So, with this movie, there's a little bit I mean, yes, that's true, but so you basically you take a pill and it gives you superpowers for only 5 minutes. And you don't know what power it's going to be until you take it. So you can take it and then for 5 minutes you're invisible. 5 minutes you are, you know, on fire, you know, firepower, you can teleport, whatever, but you don't know until you take it.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a different pill for the power, or is it how the pill responds with your system?
Like, I'm not sure.
Can you buy the multi-pack that gives you a little invisibility, a little invincibility, a little bit of fire, a little bit of flight? Or you get one power based on how this pill is going to react with your metabolism?
I think, just based on the trailer alone, of course, I think it is just anytime you take a pill, because I think all the pills look the same. Like, gotcha. You don't, there's not like, oh, this is the fire pill, and you take it. You just, the pills look the same, and you take it, and it just, not how it reacts to you, but so you could take one, and you're invisible, and then, you know, whatever, I don't know how many you can take a day. You take another one, and you're teleporting.
Nice. That's what I want. Yeah. I want the teleportation pill.
Same.
I've said
that. But hold on. Remember, it's only for 5 minutes.
So you don't want to be like in the middle of a teleportation and then all of a sudden you don't come back.
Well, not only that. Well, I mean, yes, that could be. But let's say like you teleport to Australia or something and then your timing is off and you can't teleport back. Now,
it's going to be a very expensive flight.
Exactly.
So hopefully you brought your phone charger because you're going to have to call your boss.
Yes.
Interesting. Comes down to it is, would you take the pill, Mike?
Yeah, of course I would. Okay. I've been wanting superpowers my whole life. I would take it without a second thought.
I'm intrigued by it because I don't know with 100% accuracy that I would. I feel like I'm also I think I would try to help if I took the pill, like in a life-saving situation. I think I'd either fail or I'd succeed and the pill would wear off and my true identity would be revealed and then they'd come find me.
Yeah, and it really it depends because when you say life-saving scenario. I mean, what if, somebody's, there's about to be a car wreck or there is a car wreck or something like that. And you're like, okay, I'm going to save this person. You take the pill, think you're going to get super strength or something like that. And you get invisibility, which is like, you don't have any strength, really. I mean, you could secretly get them out of the car. But
then they'll never know it was you.
Yeah. Every power doesn't work for every situation.
That's why
unless it's like the TV show Flash, which running just solves everything at all times.
Run, Barry, run. I think this would work best. I'm trying to figure out like the... there's not like a candy or a vitamin, but something that... Well, maybe a vitamin. Like, let's go back to the 80s where we're all taking the Flintstone vitamins and life was easy. And you took a purple one, you had a feeling it was going to kind of be a grape flavor. You took the orange one, it might be orange, and the red one was some kind of berry. That's what I want. I want... Okay, if this one has a little bit of a hint of green to it, I know that I'm going to turn invisible. If it looks a little blue, I'm going to, you know, be able to stop a bullet. If it turns red, or I mean, if the pill in my hand looks a little red, fire. You know, I want some type of knowledge ahead of time of what I'm getting myself into. Otherwise, how am I going to know if I'm going to be useful?
See, that's the good thing about the pills is you just don't know. It's a risk. It's a, you know, high risk, high reward. Wait. Or maybe high risk, low reward. Depending on the pill.
That's fair. Let's talk briefly, since that's going to be on Netflix at the beginning of August, let's talk about the Russo brothers teaming up with Chris Evans and Ryan Gosling for a Netflix project that will be the most expensive Netflix movie ever made, largely because of the talents involved.
I'm excited. I don't even know what they're doing, but I like the Russo brothers.
The Gray Man... it's a movie about a former CIA operative. It's going to star, as I mentioned, Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans, and if all goes well, we'll go into production in January. Reported budgeting of $200 million for the film, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, like, how does Netflix get that back? Like,
they hope that people don't cancel subscriptions.
I guess.
Gray Man includes a series of 5 books written by Mark Greene. It had 10.09 million subscribers. That is Netflix in the fiscal quarter, second quarter. So that is April, May, June. And I, assuming that everybody pays 10. I don't know, what's it going rate for Netflix now? 12 or 13 bucks?
About 13 bucks.
Okay, so let's say 13. So yeah. You're looking at $130 million you know, for every month for subscribers. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess they can get it, but they're pumping out so much content. And I'm not saying that it's bad. Extraction, which we saw, which starred Chris Hemsworth, that was... a Russo Brothers project that we talked about in the past. They just did, was it the old something with Charlize Theron? I can't remember.
Oh, Old Guard.
Old Guard. Thank you. I was going to say Old School. I'm like, nope, that's not right. Completely different type of movie. Old School Guard. although that's a movie I kind of want to see now. Mm-hmm. You got Will Ferrell out there. I don't know. Busy Saturday. Home Depot. Bed Bath & Beyond, and we're going to have to go save the world. I don't know. We'll see if there's time.
I like it.
So, Netflix, contact us. We're just spitting fire with our good ideas.
We got nothing but great ideas.
We really have. We got nothing. I mean, but great ideas. So anyway, Project Power, as we mentioned, August 4th. I'm intrigued. You'll watch it, right, Mike?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And so I think the only other topic we have at the moment is one that came to us just before we started rolling sound. Should we lay some foundation on that one, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. we had to do some, as I mentioned, run some errands earlier today and then mentioned that in the YouTube version, stopped and got some pizza on the way home. But as we're running errands and we're stopped in the parking lot and I posted on my personal Facebook site, I say, you know, this particular station in St. Louis is they're having 90s weekend and it's great. It's the best thing ever. I feel like I'm, you know, a teenager all over again. And you know, a couple people were saying like, you know, a lot of radio stations have these all the time if you just pay attention. I said, I don't, I got podcasts to listen to. And our mutual friend Chris, who we went to high school with, was talking about podcasts. And I said, well, you know, I'm about to record this podcast with Mike right now. And he says he listens, and he suggested that for Nerds United, you and I should do a show, or at least a portion of a show right now, where we list some superheroes and then what their 90s song would be if they had one. He said it'd be a pretty cool show, and I said, you, sir, just won a prize. So, Chris, we're going to get with you here in the near future. We're going to send you some Nerds United swag, something from the Nerds United prize vault, just for throwing in your terrific idea. So, Mike, this is why didn't we ever think about this before? We're both 90s kids.
True.
So where would you like to start, Marvel or DC?
Okay, so caveat on this, I had to look up 90s hit songs because although I was in the 90s, I can never remember. Like, my mind is always going to go blank.
I know what you were listening to in the 90s. I remember what you were listening to specifically.
What was I listening to?
You were listening to Rage Against the Machine.
Probably some, yeah.
And you were in that group of kids in school who was listening to ska.
I still listen to ska.
Well, I mean, I didn't mean like you ever outgrew it. I'm just saying you were like the Real Big Fish and the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Urge.
I would say, yeah. And the only other band that I would say like in the 90s that for sure I listened to was Green Day.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. So
let's start Marvel side.
All right. We just want to keep it, you know, simple and just maybe do the Avengers or?
Sure.
Okay. Where would you like you want to start with the first Avenger or the first MCU Avenger?
First Avenger, Captain America.
Okay.
Do you have one offhand? Because I don't have one offhand just yet.
Well, this is going to be ridiculous. And by the way, most of mine are ridiculous. And it's not that I'm not giving them any thought. It's just that we're all doing this on the spot. So, do you remember a little band called the Wallflowers?
Of course.
Of course. Do you remember their big song?
God, no. If I heard it, I'd know it. Well, obviously.
Everyone, I don't know how much of that you can hear.
A little bit.
Okay. I mean, obviously, I turned it down while we get through the ads. Let's see here.
Okay.
Now, the reason being, Captain America, as we know, loves to ride a motorcycle. And what does motorcycle have? One headlight.
Oh, okay.
To know in the official video for the Wallflowers One Headlight, at sometimes the band is standing in front of the blue with the stars. So the blue field with the stars. So a little bit of patriotism there.
Okay. So I'm going through this list, and there's one that just stood out to me. I have to try to figure out how it treats Captain America, except for the fact that Captain America is tough, okay? And, yes, he can knock you out with one punch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, I'm going with LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out. Came out in 1990.
Ooh. Well done, sir. I'm by the way, I'm going to try to do the audio on the fly, but it's more difficult on your end when I don't know the songs ahead of time.
Okay.
said knock you out. And you know what? By and large, if he was going up against a regular old human, it would only take one shot to knock him out.
True.
Good one, Mike. Good one. Maybe we'll go on to... Who should we go on to now? I want to say Black Widow.
Okay. Black Widow. God, do you have one?
I do. And okay. Again, it's as ridiculous as all of them. So, are you prepared to bear with me?
I am ready to go.
Now, I don't know, like, I didn't do, this is funny, because this isn't a Marvel movie, just not the one I'm thinking of. I don't know if that spoils anything for you.
No.
All right, well, let's see if I can't, Black Widow. Pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly? By the way, if you're not picking up on that song, ladies and gentlemen, you're young. I used to listen to Tragic Kingdom on the way to golf practice in high school.
Dude, I used to listen to it all the time, yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic music. Great album. Yeah. It's just that I don't think about golf practice in high school very often because I was not on the team after the first couple weeks of sophomore year. That was interesting.
So, since you went kind of a girl power type song for Black Widow, mm-hmm. all right, I'm going to follow along, and I'm going to go with Spice Girls' Wannabe.
I mean, I don't really want to find this music for that one.
You don't have to. I never said you had to find it.
Yeah, that sure was a song in the 90s.
Come on, you love that song.
I still don't even know all the words to that song. And not that I ever set out to, like, that's not a goal I ever set out to achieve. But, yeah, that was just like, okay, that's a song. That's a band that, or a group, not a band. I always had, especially when, like, the Backstreet Boys and the NSYNCs got popular in the later 80s, I always had to correct everyone. They're not bands. They're groups. Bands play instruments. Groups sing and dance.
Okay. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Okay. You're pretty much saying that I'm right then. If you're not,
not wrong.
Mike, if you're not saying I'm wrong, then you are saying I'm right.
You're close.
Okay. I have one for Thor next.
Same. Uh-oh. Actually, yes.
Uh-oh. Now I'm scared that we might be the same ones.
No, there's no way.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
We'll find out. As we know, especially Fat Thor, he made no bones about the fact. I like Fat Thor and his scene with... his original scene with Doctor Strange where he's like, oh, I don't really drink tea. Well, let's give you that mug of those delicious libations. This, of course, Real Big Fish, one of those ska bands we mentioned moments ago. One of my favorite songs of theirs. One of my favorite beverages of all time. All right, Mike, what you got for Thor?
God, I like that. I like yours way better than mine. it fits more. And there's more Real Big Fish drinking songs too.
Oh, okay.
You know, but that's a good, very good one.
I won't let the radio hit.
Yeah.
Right about the time they sold out. Sell out, get it? Real Big Fish?
Yes. Their big hit from the 90s.
They also, did you know that they had a cover on the basketball soundtrack?
Oh, yeah.
Of Take On Me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good song.
It's my favorite version of the song.
Yeah.
No offense to Aha.
No, yeah, they do much better, yeah. And they were in the basketball. They, not only did they have a song, they were actually in the video or in the movie.
That's right. They were like the arena band or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
By the way, very good band. I mean, obviously, if you like ska, very good band to see live.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. The closest, okay, so the closest man, I wish
thing,
I had
the closest thing, I'm not trying to cut you off, but the closest thing I've come to seeing a ska band live is not a ska band at all, but Zoot Suit Riot, Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Okay.
Saw them in 2009 in Nashville, Tennessee, of all places.
Wow.
So.
Okay. So I'm looking at this list, and right before you mentioned Thor, this one popped up, and I said to myself, I have to have this one for some superhero, and maybe it works for Thor. I don't really know. Actually, I think it kind of does, because if I'm thinking of Mjolnir, however you pronounce it.
Mjolnir.
So I'm going with Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, Good Vibrations. Because I just want that song on there.
Okay, let's get it going. After this ad.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Can you feel it, baby? I can too.
Man, he has come a long way, has he not? Thought, did he start his career as like a Calvin Klein model or something like that?
Yeah.
And he's a legit leading man. I mean, there's no arguments about that, correct?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
How long until he's in a Marvel movie? Because I feel like he has enough in his resume that would qualify him for Marvel, don't you think?
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
Is it because his name's not Chris?
I think so. I think he was thinking about changing his name to Chris, actually, just for that reason.
Are any of his brothers named Chris? Any of the Wahlberger boys?
I just know Mark and Donnie.
I guess
there's probably other ones.
Yeah,
there's probably a Chris somewhere.
Shout out to him, because I guarantee you that in 1991, he probably didn't think that in 2020 he'd still have a career. I mean, you always hope it, but you never really know.
Right.
All right. Well, now we've got to find one for Hulk. We have to find one for Iron Man. And if we wanted to really get crazy, Hawkeye.
Yeah. God, I had one for – the very first one I had was Hulk. Now I got to go back on my list to try and figure out which one it was.
See, I think it's funny that Hopefully. You went with the list, and I just like, okay, what's – what do we got out here?
See, I have to go with a list, or else my brain just is like I'll not remember any song whatsoever.
That's fair. And I, you know, "Semi Charmed Life" by Third Eye Blind is a good song, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's, you know, got like negative. You know, I saw a question was raised in my office earlier this week about like, did Third Eye Blind ever have a song that's not, you know, about sadness? And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
All right, I got mine. I found it again.
For Hulk?
It was actually a number. This is number 5 of the top 100.
Oh, my goodness.
90s songs from this website. And you'll definitely remember it. Came out in 1993. Probably played it at a lot of basketball games, like right before, you know, to hype everybody up.
Jock Jams?
And that's,
was it on the Jock Jams album?
I'm almost positive it was on the Jock Jams CD. And that's Tag Team. Whoop, there it is.
It is. And my buddy Matt and I used to play that when we were dunking in his hallway on his little like Nerf size, you know, basketball and hoop. Yeah, let's get this one.
And my man Steve Rowland, we're kicking the flow.
We're kicking the flow.
And it goes a little something like this. Tag team, back again. Check it, direct it, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoices. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. These three words mean you're getting busy. Whoop, there it is, Hitman.
Perfect selection for Hulk, by the way.
Yes.
Because he is a walking tag team.
Yes, exactly.
Is that why you went with that one?
Yes, one of the many reasons why I went with that one.
All right, now I've got to find one that's up to the challenge of that.
All they'll see is a brilliant idea.
No, stop.
No one will see.
Oh, that's an interesting one. Okay.
That's like a pop-up ad I decided to play. all right, let's go all the way down. Oh, you know what? I just saw it. It went away, but okay. Because we know Hulky can be sad.
Am I right? Sure.
So, we're going this way. Not awkward breathing. Hulk's a little bit of a self-deprecating type of guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Time and effort into music videos. I mean, they're essentially doing the same shot just in four different shirts.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so there's Hulk. Think Hawkman. Hawkman, Hawkeye, jeez. Hawkman, Hawkeye. Hawkman, that DC Marvel, that DC Avengers character.
oh, gosh, Hawkeye.
I'm going to the list, not the list that, by the way, RollingStone.com and the magazine therein said that, I don't know if you're looking at the same list that I am, that Smells Like Teen Spirit was the number one song of the 90s. Do you agree?
I would agree that it's not the list I'm looking at. Maybe it is. Is yours liveabout.com?
No, rollingstone.com.
Oh, okay. But yeah, it's probably taken from the same. I would agree that it's the number one song of the 90s.
Okay. I mean, I don't.
Most well known.
Is it though?
What would you put higher than it?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
By the way, it's the only, going by the Rolling Stones list there, I think it's the only non R&B or hip hop song in the top 10.
Yeah. God, Hawkeye, nothing's popping out of me for Hawkeye.
All right, let's see if I can throw one in here.
Okay, yeah. Hit me with something. This Hawkeye, I mean, I got it.
Okay, this is not going to be a good one. I love the song, but the song and the character we're matching the two are pretty similar in their overall effect on the universe as a whole. Let's see if we can't get a good blah, 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 blah. Apparently we're just going to have 10 seconds of silence here.
They made up their minds and they started packing. They left before the sun.
Remember this song?
Yep, of course I do.
I'm just checking.
Yeah. I don't know how it fits Hawkeye, but I like it.
Nice, a very small impact. Plus, his arrows go the way that he points them.
Oh, sure. Alright.
That's enough. I mean, it's Hawkeye. We don't need to give him a, we don't need to spend a whole lot of
time. Yeah.
Alright, you got one for Hawkeye. I'm excited.
Okay, now, I was going to go with one song, and then I saw a different one. And I don't even know if you would know the song, but I don't think you would know the artist because I didn't know the artist. Eni Kamoze, I-N-I for the first name, K-O-M-O-Z-E for the second name, last name. And I see you're looking it up, so I want to see what's the first thing that comes up with this. Does the song come up?
Hot Stepper?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if I remember this one. Oh, okay. Wait a minute. All right, I'm just hoping I picked the right video.
Straight.
Hit it.
From a movie soundtrack. With Julia Roberts in the movie.
Here comes the hot stepper, I'm the lyrical gangster, big up the crew in the area, still have it like that. No, no, we don't die, yes, we multiply. Anyone press will hear the fine lady sing. Act like you know.
All right, that's not one direction I thought you were going to go, but I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, no, I don't really know how it fits Hawkeye, but he has, you know, flaming arrows, and you step on him, that'd be hot.
And in Endgame, he does become a murderer.
That's true, yes.
So.
And he straight up murders people.
All right, now I'm going to deep dive.
Okay. Who do we have left?
I think we just have the big guy. Not the big green guy, but like the guy.
Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Here we go. No, I don't want list of one hit one. Oh, sure, shit. How with it? You can tell we're doing this one on the fly, ladies and gents.
Yeah.
No. Again, he likes to come into AC/DC anyway.
Yeah.
Trying to find.
But that's not 90s.
Nope.
Because I thought the same thing.
Let's double check here. I feel like, nope. Ooh, possibly. That's the one I have in mind, so we'll probably come back to it.
Okay,
we're just going to do it. Here's my Iron Man. By the way, we might have to do part two and do DC another time.
Yes.
With more thought.
Right.
All right. Let's see if there's an ad to play first. Nope.
Downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit down and think about myself. And then there she was, like double cherry pie. Yeah, there she was, like disco superfly. I smell sexy.
it here.
I think that one kind of accurately sums up Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got the ability to get it all if he wants.
Yeah. I'm going to go with something a little bit more, a little faster tempo. Not even say more upbeat.
I can't say I blame you.
And really, I'm just going with this one because I like the song. And it was, this is a, definitely a song that I was listening to in the 90s for sure. Probably driving to school, driving home from school, just driving around Trenton because that's what I did when I was bored.
Was it the Beastie Boys? Because that's what I was listening to.
I definitely listen to the Beastie Boys. No, unfortunately, that's not the, although there's plenty of Beastie Boys, like Sabotage would work, but I don't know if, Sabotage was in the 90s or not.
Yes.
It was.
And Intergalactic, they were both mid to late, I think latter half 90s. Yeah.
You know what, there's, to be honest with you, there's a lot of Beastie Boys song that would work for Iron Man. I almost want to kind of want to go with, oh, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to change. I'm going to, so what I was going to go with was Blink-182's Damn It.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, I think Sabotage would work better for Iron Man.
And I think the overall vibe of the music is something that Tony Stark would listen to, you know. Mm-hmm. I have a 15-second ad that I cannot speed past. So we're just going to have some silence for Nissan. Nobody cares about the all-new Sentra starting in 1990 because Nissans are crap. We can agree on that, right, Mike? Nissans.
Yes,
great stuff. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Wait,
or
good.
Do you want me to play a little more?
No.
Oh, okay.
I got a story.
Do you think that they were maybe the forerunners? Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters have really made an art form of taking a song and doing a video that doesn't necessarily match it, you know, in any way. You know, just kind of a almost making like a cinematic type of music video presentation. And I think that maybe Beastie Boys might have been one of the front runners on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, you have a story.
Oh, so, okay. This goes along with your other podcast, one of your other podcasts, Greg and Chad's We Talk for 30 Minutes, also known as Greg and Chad's Power Half Hour.
I think We Talk for 30 Minutes might be the new title. No, okay.
That one people know what it is. Now, last episode was Morning Celebrity Deaths, which you had Mr. Kevin Huntsberger on there. I mean, if you want second rate host, sure, have Kevin Huntsberger. No, I'm just kidding. I love Kevin Huntsberger from My 123 Cents, the podcast.
Right here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network.
Absolutely. But now I didn't listen to the full thing yet because it's 30 minutes and I'm like, oh, God, I don't have that much time. So maybe you mentioned this person already, but, the only celebrity death that I've ever actually somewhat mourned was MCA from the Beastie Boys.
We did not mention him.
Okay. And the only reason I say mourned is because, God, this is, I mean, he's been dead for like 10 years, I think. I'm not sure, but it's or maybe 8 or 9, something like that. Anyway, before he passed away, me and my cousin Corey, we were talking about going to a Beastie Boys concert.
Eight years. May 4th of 2012.
Okay, so we were talking about going to a Beastie Boys concert because we would watch them on YouTube because you can go to YouTube and, you know, Beastie Boys live concert and they look amazing and stuff like that. And of course, we both like the Beastie Boys, so we're like, man, we got to figure out when's their next concert. We got to go. And so we Googled it, and that's when we found out that about MCA having cancer. But it was, you know, I forgot what kind of cancer he had. Pancreatic? I'm not 100% sure. But anyway, they're like, you know, Torres being suspended until, you know, he gets better and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. Well, then, of course, as you know, unfortunately, he tragically passed away. And honestly, it was the first time I was sad, but I don't know if I was sad necessarily for him passing away, although that is very tragic, of course. But it was more the sense that, like, me and Corey will never go to a Beastie Boys concert.
Yeah.
You know? And I was just like, oh, man. So, for a while, every year on his birthday, we haven't done it in a while just because it's hard to get together and we're old. We used to play Beastie Pong, which is basically beer pong, but you use Brass Monkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, cancerous. He was diagnosed in 09 with a cancerous parotid gland and lymph node. Underwent surgery and radiation therapy. He became a vegan on the recommendation of his doctors, and at the time, he described the cancer as very treatable. And so he battled it for about 3 years, and it was, you know, everybody from upon his death, you know, musicians and other celebrities paid tribute. Russell Simmons of Def Jam Records, Ben Stiller, Jeff Ament or Ament of Pearl Jam, Radiohead, Eminem, obviously the guys from Beastie Boys. So he left instructions in his last will and testament that his music cannot be used in advertising, though the legal validity of such an instruction has been questioned. So I like that. You know, he's like, you know what? If he could do it and say, not in advertising or in political campaigns.
Yeah. And you know what? And the other members of Beastie Boys, they agreed. They said, if that's what he wants, that's fine.
Yeah. Now we just have to get it, you know, I don't know, notarized or whatever you got it to. So,
yeah.
Well, that was fun. I'll be honest with you. It took a lot more thought to come up with, you know, the 90s hits for our Marvel friends. So I think we're going to table the Justice League. We'll call them the Justice League till next time. And just, you know, we'll do the seven Justice League. We'll have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. We'll have the Holy Trinity, of course. Flash, Green Arrow, Cyborg, Scratch Green Arrow. We'll do Green Lantern, Cyborg, and Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
I think that, do we do six or seven Avengers? I think we did six, right?
Yeah.
So let's throw Martian Manhunter out.
Okay.
So we'll do six Justice League members, Aquaman, Green Lantern, Flash. Yeah, Aquaman, I forgot Aquaman earlier. So easy to do. Aquaman, Green Lantern, Flash, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And those will be, we're not going cinematic universe in this one, of course. We're just doing for fun and giggles because, I mean, I don't know. They didn't really have auto-tune. I don't know how you do a Cyborg song.
Yes, true. I will think of one. Don't worry.
Well, maybe we'll throw that in as an honorable mention, a little bonus.
Yeah.
So hope that you all enjoyed this episode. It was fun. It was a late last minute curveball we didn't expect. We certainly had a lot of fun with it. And obviously we don't own any of that music. So we apologize to all these 90s bands who probably need just a skosh more limelight anyway in 2020. So you're welcome or we apologize, whichever fits. So that'll do it for this episode of Nerds United. He is the co-host of the year, Mike Luther. I am Greg Mahochko, and we remind you this week and every week to be kind
and rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.